Watch you on the arms with Glenn.
And Drew.
And we have a guest in our studio today that we're just going to jump all, we're going to skip all the other stuff that we talk about. We're going to talk about that at the end of the show. So our current events, Red Wire gear moment, independence training moment, all that stuff's going to come at the end of the show because we got a guest. We want to make sure we make her her time hack here, and we want to make the best use out of her time. So Judy.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm so good for a Monday morning. Hell yeah.
So Judy's from Apex Body Works, and Judy has been Drew and I have been paying Judy to touch us for a while now and try to fix all of our mistakes that we have from not following her advice previous in the previous time that she touched us.
How true it is.
So the topic for today's show is handling injuries as you're getting older. And when we were waiting for Drew because she was late.
I was super late.
And we were talking about it. One of the things that I was kind of mentioning to Judy was like I banged my, you know, like my shin on Drew's hitch on her truck like a month and a half ago. And the pain is gone, but like the cut is still there. Like, why is it not healing? It's taking so long to heal. And it's something that we all notice as we get older. Like, everything takes forever. If I hurt my shoulder now, if I wake up with a sore back, if something happens to me, it's not going to be gone by the end of the day like it was 15 or 20 years ago. And I think one of the biggest things that people have an issue with is too often they think, well, back in the day, right? What I refer to as Uncle Rico syndrome. Like, back in the day, man, I used to be able to do this, and I could do this, and I could do that. And during that time, you know, when you were athletically performing, or you were serving in the military, or you were active duty in law enforcement on the street, now you're in an admin job or whatever. Like, back then, you were also keeping yourself in better physical condition. You were fueling yourself with better, you know, internal fuel. You were taking better care of your emotional state or your mental state, or it was less matured sometimes than it is now, which messes up in a whole other way. It was like there was a lot of things that were different. And how do you see that in your job?
Absolutely. So when we look at that aging process and we are doing things that, like you said, when we were 20, it was no big deal. We would just get up and get off the couch and go for a run, or we would be actively engaged with different aspects of whatever we wanted to do without really thinking about it. And as we age, our bodies don't respond the same. So it's those muscles, it's the tissues in our bodies where our brain says, oh yeah, I can go do this and there ain't gonna be anything stopping me. And then 3 minutes later, we have just fallen off of a curb and injured ourselves. And our bodies don't respond the same. We're not as quick to respond. Our bodies don't have the same reflexes to respond. So then we end up with an injury. And what the hell do we do with that, right?
Yeah.
So when we look at the process of going and wanting to just be able to get up and go for a run or whatever it is that we're trying to do without that injury, it's what do we do to prevent that? What do we do day in and day out that can get us to a point where that's not even an issue? And in my experience over the last 20 years working with people and their bodies is the stretching aspect of things and how that can prevent the injury as well as help us heal the injury. So you have an injury right now based on something that you did a month ago. It's not getting better, but what have you done for it, right? Most people are like, oh, it'll just go away.
I look at it a lot.
Yeah, you look at it, you're like, well, that's pretty. That is really awesome. But you're not doing anything for it, right?
Yep.
Well, so, I mean, I injured my calf, and I was like, oh, yeah, I should probably stretch. I can hear Judy's voice in my head being like, well, duh.
Yeah, like, you know better, right? Like, yeah. You've done this. You've come in. We've worked on the calf. We've gotten it to a point where it doesn't hurt, and then you stop doing the things that you know
it feels
you
better.
Should be doing yeah. because it feels better. Yeah. Once it feels better, we stop doing the things that got us to feeling better. And and as we age, guess what? We can't stop doing those things.
Yeah.
The reality is your tissue, if it doesn't move, starts folding in on itself kind of like a saran wrap.
Gross.
Right? Like the tissue just doesn't move the same. And so if you think about a piece of saran wrap and how that sticks together, you're wrapping it around something to preserve it. We don't want our tissue to be preserved, people. Like we need it to move. And stretching helps maintain that and unfolds the saran wrap once you've done the damage.
That's a good way to put that into perspective.
Now, from an investment standpoint, right, you mentioned kind of quickly as you're talking, like, hey, you got to invest in this, but it really is an investment. Like our listeners, our people who are in our lifestyle way of things, like we spend thousands of dollars on guns, ammunition, med kits, survival packs, upgrades to our vehicles so we can go off-roading, you know, all this emergency prep gear that we buy. And one of the things that we always focus on in our training is how important the skills are over the tools. Like, quit buying lots of stuff and start investing more in your skills, because the guy with a $200 pistol is still going to kill your ass because he doesn't have to be good. He just has to get lucky. And all he needs to do is have more skill than you. He hasn't purchased necessarily the amazing tools, but he's got more skills, right? And he's got more drive, he's got more motivation. And so I see that a lot, like in sports and athletics. And to kind of speak to this for you is, you see, watch the Olympics, watch the runners, right? I know obviously you and Drew are runners. I Clydesdale.
You run for beer.
Trot. I run for beer. And so, but like if you think of it from a runner's perspective, you watch the Olympics. Some of the most amazing runners in this entire world's history are from some of the poorest countries. They're running in garbage shoes when they practice.
Even have shoes.
If they're even running with shoes, right? They're not getting cryotherapy. You know what I mean? They're just taking good care of themselves. They're putting good fuel in. They're stretching. They're taking care of their bodies. And then they're performing. And then they're like showing up, like flying. There's like stories of these people like flying on a plane for the first time ever in their lives when they flew to the Olympics and then won the gold like six events, you know, because they're just amazing. Again, skills are always going to trump those tools. So when you see in your industry that investment of people's time, like you mentioned, people go, oh man, it feels better now, so I'm going to stop because now I have quote unquote more important things to do, or I have other things to do. I'm not going to make time for this. Do you see people, I don't really know what tools are necessarily available for people to buy, but maybe not a tool specific, but where do you see people get lost in trying to do something other than just putting in the work?
That is an awesome question. What I have experienced in all of my training with Stretch is that we can have a ton of fancy tools. Like if you came to my office, I have all of the tools. I have all the fancy stuff, right? Because it's fun and it makes things more interesting. But at the end of the day, when I go home, I use a mat on the floor and that's it. So you don't have to have a lot of fancy tools. It is just taking the time really to say, hey, this is important to me. And then what do I do? And that's sometimes where people get stuck is like, I know I should be stretching, and that tragic word of should, right? And I want to do something to make myself feel better, but I don't know what to do. And really just saying, okay, if my calf hurts, maybe I should stretch my calf. How do I do that? I don't really know. You're probably going to go to YouTube and look up a few calf stretches. Trying something is always going to be better than not doing anything at all. Because if you don't do anything at all, then your tissue becomes that saran wrap and sticks and doesn't move and stays injured. And then that injury, because you're going to be protecting that, is going to create other injuries in your body. And it's this waterfall effect of one thing creating problem in a different part of your body. So the investment of time is huge. And maybe sometimes you don't have an hour to spend stretching, and that's no problem. Like even if it's a 5-minute time frame every day that you say, you know what, when I get up, I'm going to drink my cup of coffee, going to sit on the floor and stretch for 5 minutes. And whatever stretch that is, it's no problem. You don't have to understand everything about the body in order to stretch. I think we all, when we were in high school, you know, a few years ago, or a lot of years ago, as it may be for the three of us sitting here, is that we did some very basic stretching. And it worked, right? It worked for the things that we needed it to work for. So just thinking about that and knowing like, hey, my hips hurt. How do I stretch my hips? Well, maybe you lay on the floor and bring one leg across the other and bring your knees to the chest. We don't have to have all of the tools to start somewhere. And then if you do want the tools, you're going to look for resources online or, you know, maybe just talk to Drew and Glenn, because I've given them plenty of stretches and they should, in theory, know how to stretch.
I literally have a stack of pamphlets next to the bed in my little cabinet.
Like, here's how to stretch the hip flexors.
Here's the things that
I haven't
Judy
saved
told me to
on
stretch.
My phone from when you emailed me them like 4 years ago.
Yeah. And
so
there's
I just go back because I always want to double check to make sure that I'm doing them correctly. So I always go back and reread your little paragraph that you wrote, like how to properly do these to make sure that I'm still maintaining good form stretching.
Yeah, and there definitely is a good form and a bad form, but any form that's helping you to alleviate the tension in your body is better than nothing.
Yeah.
So while we look at, let's say, a hip flexor stretch, if you've been sitting all day, that becomes a catalyst for low back pain. So if we have low back pain, we need to be stretching the hip flexors. How do we do that with good form? How do we do that in a way that's meaningful?
Yeah.
And it's not a 10-second stretch. We don't want to do 10 minutes either, but it's taking the time to actually feel what's happening in your body. And that's where a lot of people get stuck, is like, I don't want to feel what's happening in my body because that's scary, yeah, right? Like, we don't want to feel. So that's part one, but also just what happens if it feels really intense. Back off a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, just be in a space where you can feel the stretch and then hang out there long enough that that tissue has time to respond. And that length of time is no less than 30 seconds and ideally closer to that 2-minute mark where you're in a stretch and just letting that tissue be responsive.
And you don't want to pull out of the stretch super fast, because I got yelled at a lot for that.
Yeah, move slow, move slow.
You're going too fast.
We want to rush stretching. It's like we're in a hurry. Usually we're in a hurry or we're on our way to go do something. It's not part of the activity that we're doing. It's an afterthought. Yeah. And it really, as we age, it has to be at the forefront. Like, I was telling Glenn this morning that most of my stretch clients are men, and I'm going to just say between the age of probably 35 and 65, that's a generalization, and all kind of coming in with the same scenario. Like, I have low back pain, I have knee pain, I have hip pain. Why?
Sounds like all of those for you, honey.
And it's preventable, right? Like, all of those things are preventable in the sense of just a few minutes a day of committing to stretching that is going to alleviate those day-to-day aches and pains. And that in the long term is going to help you stay healthy and active and being able to do all of those things that you want to do,
right,
day in and day out.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the scary part for me. Like, and all guys have experienced this. And like you mentioned, it typically, I think, is guys more that are going to invest less in their health. And so guys tend to focus on, to steal a term from our friend, Carissa, Dr. Carissa, is, guys are more focused on sick care than health care, right? We wait until something's wrong. Mm-hmm. And then we go try to fix the thing that's wrong, right?
Yeah.
Like, we wait until our heartburn is unbearable and then we go figure out what's going on with it. Otherwise we're just popping Tums or whatever, just going like whatever, drinking a glass of water. And so it's the same thing with muscle injuries. Like, you know, if I sit in a certain position or whatever for a while, you know, my low back tightens up to the point where if I stand up, I have to be straight as an arrow to even move my body into position. And then, like, I like stretch it out, you know, and then I'm like, oh, okay, good. It released so I'm good now. Right.
Good
and now. Then I go out and I do all the very physical things that I do for my job and for recreation. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, it doesn't hurt now, so it must be okay. And I think where my mindset's changed on that at least a little bit over the last few years is like watching my dad go through a lot of what you mentioned. You know, my dad's been a high intensity physical person his whole life and went from, you know, military life and being a rodeo, you know, bronc rider and construction and then, you know, working up in the mountains of Colorado, like lots of intense activity. He was never hurt. Right? Like, unless he physically hurt him, like a broken arm or something, he was fine. And then as he started getting older and older, things started getting worse and worse. And there was a time in my life where even into my 20s, you know, my late 20s, it was hard to go hiking with my dad because he could still out hike me. And he was in his 60s and he was still just kicking my ass. And then he really started to get to those late 60s, early 70s. Things really started to beat his ass. He ended up getting a double knee replacement. Started with one knee and he limped along with his injury for a while, wasn't really taking care of it right, didn't really do anything to prevent it either. And then it was like, oh shit, now it's upon me. Now I got to fix it. And it's like, well, now it's too late. And then, you know, he compensated with the other knee. So he blew that one out And then finally, he got one knee replaced. And like, well, now your other one's toast. And that one got replaced. Now he's got hip problems. And
yeah.
Now mobility in general for him is very difficult. And he's definitely not out hiking me. Hell, he could barely outwalk me up the stairs now. You know what I mean? Or he couldn't outwalk me up the stairs. And it sucks. It sucks to see him broken down like that because I never knew him ever in my whole life like that. I also think back and in my discussions with him, been like, okay, what did we do to prevent this?
Yeah.
We didn't. And then when it was upon us, it was too late. And his age was such that it was way too late. And I think that's all guys' fears is to get to that point. But it's like, for some reason, we can't put ourselves in that position. Because I look at my dad, I'm like, well, he's still like 30-something years older than me. I'll be okay.
Yeah, and I look at, you know, you can use the example of our fathers. My dad's 78 years old and still refereeing like high school basketball games and stuff, running up and down the court. And I saw him back in December and he's like, hey, I have a question for you. And, you know, there's always a question from family members about how to take care of my body. Like, what stretches are good for this? And I'm happy to help answer questions, of course. And it's his knee, right? Like, he's running up and down a freaking basketball court at 78 years old. And somehow fell, in quote marks, of course. And now his knee is bothering him and he wants to know how to fix it. And it's like, well, what do you do before you go out there on a basketball court? You're old, like, right? Like, he's run marathons and done all of these active things all of his life. And he's at that point where he's definitely slowing down. And what do you do before you go on the basketball court? Well, I stretch. I was like, well, what stretches do you do that will help you with your knee? And so while he's doing some very basic things that I think are helping him be able to navigate the basketball court, he's not doing the things that are specific to the muscles that he's actually using on the court. So it's no surprise, like, his knee hurts, he fell. But the other piece of that is when you're running, the knees become a huge player. So stretching the muscles that surround the knee, which for most importantly is your quadriceps on the front of the leg. So making sure that those are long and moving. And whether that's like Drew pulling out your foam roller and doing some rolling after you run or before, if it's an injury sort of situation.
I do both now.
Yeah, both is awesome. And then I look at my 80, I think she's like 83-year-old client who is still out playing golf with no problems. And guess what? She stretches every day. Mm-hmm. And it's learning – like, these are the stretches I need to do for golf. And she does those stretches and then she goes out and she's, like I said, 83 years old and not have any injuries and doing what she wants to be doing. And it's a commitment to that every single day that's allowing that to happen. And we don't think, like, I'm 44. I don't think about, oh, I have to make time for stretching because I'm going to get injured. It's just, it has become such a habit for me that's what I do. I spend time every day doing that, even if it's only 5 minutes. And so when we look at the consistency of it, which is really the biggest, I think, key to preventing injury and to rehabilitating, is the consistency of it and allowing our bodies the time to understand what it feels like to be lengthened. A long muscle is a strong muscle. A long muscle is a strong muscle. So when we keep the length in the tissue, we can actually strengthen those tissues so that we prevent the injuries from happening.
Well, and you talking about your 83-year-old client kind of reminds me of us, like, talking to our shooting clients sometimes, right? Where you talk about your 83-year-old client who's going, yeah, I stretch all the time, and that's why I can still be out and still be active all the time because I took care of myself. And sometimes I think about, like, our shooting clients were like, you know, how'd you guys get good at what you do? And it's like, well, here's all the time we've invested in our craft. And they're like, is there a faster way? And it's like,
Nope. Got to put the time in.
You literally just have to put the time in. And if you want to get to this point, you have to put the time in. Doing, you know, going to one class, let's say, or going to two classes with us, is not going to be enough for you to be able to reach our level of proficiency, because it's only really a couple of days. And it's not even enough repetitions, and it's not enough time to build habits. So I think that kind of same mentality applies here, where it's like going to – if I go to a stretch class or I watch a YouTube video or I go to one session with you every, you know, 6 or 8 months or something like that, like, that's not going to be enough. Right? I have to put the time in to stretch way more often, definitely, than I'm doing right now so that when I'm that – you know, 83-year-old person, I can still go, well, I don't play golf. I still want to be out there hiking, or I still want to be out there, you know, playing with grandkids at that point or whatever. Like, I still want to be out doing stuff. So in that vein, what are some things? I was just kind of cruising around your website, which is Apex Body Works with an X at the end of works. ApexBodyWorks.com. And you're on, are you on social media stuff?
Yeah.
Instagram is Apex Stretch.
Apex Stretch.
And you're on Facebook, right?
Yeah. Same thing. Apex Stretch.
Body Works. Yeah. Okay. So on your website, there's a little bit of information about, you know, what you do in your stretch workshops and all that kind of stuff. Do you do any of that kind of stuff online? Do you do videos? Do you have any content that you're doing?
Yeah, so there's a couple of stretch programs online that you can purchase. Really, the videos on Instagram and those sort of platforms. I have a YouTube channel as well where you can learn about some of the stretches. It's understanding what's going on in your body and then applying it, right? Mm-hmm. So when we work with clients, we're first just identifying where are the restrictions in the body and then how do we address those restrictions? Because every single body has a different layer to it that can't just be, chosen or seen on a video. So it's really taking it, what's happening in your body. There's not a system in which one size fits all. However, we can do Zoom stretch sessions and do some different layers of evaluation, if you will, just to kind of see where you're at to start with and then give you recommendations based on that from the overall stretch, group stretch sort of things. We do a group stretch class once a week, usually Tuesday nights. And that can just give you a little bit of a basis of general stretches that we do day in and day out. And so when you start applying just some of the basics that are big bang for your bucks, like you have 5 minutes, this is the stretch to do. That's going to target a lot of muscles all at the same time. It doesn't get you out of doing the rest of them. It just gets you out of doing the rest of them for a day. And then you can build into that.
And I think that's an important point to make about how you can assess somebody, even if they're – you can always assess someone the best if you're hands-on, right? But you can still get an assessment done and still get some stretch programs to people because, you know, you're based in Scottsdale, Arizona, and there's – people all over the country who are looking for this kind of information, but they can't always get it where they are.
Absolutely.
Right? And it always sucks to cold call or blind go to somebody. I mean, that's even how we found you, right? I went through my sister who's kind of sort of in the industry or same industry. And then she's like, oh yeah, well, this is actually this really great person that like lives right next to you and you should go see her. And we always, I think by nature, I know certainly by our business, everything we do is going to be by referral because it's scary to go to someone. I've been through, I couldn't even tell you how many massages in my life that were basically just like, thanks.
Thanks for passively touching me
for an hour. Here's $100 and thanks for your time. You know, so it's like a lot of people go to that kind of stuff and they're not really going and getting any better. They're not going and they're not, having certain things worked out. They're not being shown how to work certain things out. And so on the topic of today's show, right, which is how to handle injuries as you're getting older, we don't really want to just go be massaged anymore. I don't want to go be massaged anymore. I want to, especially by strangers, you know what I mean? Like someone I don't even know. I want to go and I want someone to go like, hey man, I'm coming in. My hip hurts. My knee hurts. Let's work on that. If you have time at the end, yeah, sure, give me a nice neck rub. But this is what I need. And if you want to do whatever else you got to do to get to that point, that's fine. But like really, this is what I want to focus on. And that's what you can do. And not everybody has access to that. So being able to, you know, do it online with you, I think is a really critical element. Because I know for me, especially from an education standpoint, which you're very into as well, I want to learn about what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's frustrating to me when I go on YouTube and I'm like, okay, my freaking knee hurts, right? Or whatever. And if I go on WebMD, it's fucking cancer.
Yeah,
every
don't
time.
Do that.
It's always cancer.
Every time. All
right.
Time.
It's either cancer or I need a colonoscopy.
Yes.
Either one is gonna suck, right? That's WebMD's answer to everything. So,
yes.
So if I'm gonna go on YouTube and I'm gonna look up, you know, like, hey, give me some stretches for my knee or give me some stretches for my elbow, there's such a wide variety. And I also don't really always know what experience that person is drawing from. Like, is it gonna be contextual to me? Like, you're you're an athlete, so you have a context that I can get on board with.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think for me, education has always been critical. Like, I would much rather see somebody once or twice and send them on their way, or maybe three or four times, just depending on the situation, of course, then and teach them how to help themselves rather than say you have to come in here every week for the next 6 months, like you would have at a physical therapy clinic or a chiropractic clinic or something like this, where if you know how to help yourself, then you're going to set yourself up for success, not just today, but for the rest of your life, right? And so finding the expertise is hard. I get that. Like, I've been in the industry, like I said, 20 plus years, and it's not easy to find somebody that knows what they're talking about. I can tell you with an absolute amount of certainty that I'm still learning. However, I've been stretching with people for a very long time and have the knowledge to be able to say, this is where you what you need help with. And can you get somebody else to say that with that kind of certainty? Probably somewhere. But when it comes to stretch, I feel like I kind of have it dialed, you know? And not everybody feels – how should I say it? Some practitioners that you go to are going to say you have to do this, ABC. And every single person, guess what, is walking into their office and they're getting ABC. But what if you need D and F and Z? And so that's where we – like forward and backward engineer your body to say, no, okay, if this isn't responding, this is what we need to do first. And so really like taking in a more holistic approach to it from the standpoint that a lot of times in our bodies, we think that it's the knee that hurts, but really that pull in the knee is coming from somewhere completely unrelated. So being able to identify those unrelated areas so that we can maximize the end result so that you're happy with that. So we definitely can take in that process of learning about what's happening in our bodies. We can do that in a virtual setting as best as possible, but ideally we would love to see you at the office so that we can give you the results that you're looking for.
Now, over the next, you know, the next 10 minutes or so that we've still got you on the show, give me some ideas on, and I know we've already talked about, like, you have to assess each kind of person individually, but give you some basic ideas about what's the first step. I realize I am injured, right? I've hurt my knee, I've hurt my back, whatever it is. I realize I'm injured. What is the next thing that I should be doing? Because what the next thing most people do is not the right thing. They wait.
Yeah.
Or to see if it gets worse.
Yes. So, A, good job with acknowledging, like, I'm hurt, because sometimes we just ignore that, right? We're going to carry on with whatever it is that we're doing because we don't have time to deal with that. So it's important that you actually deal with it if you want to keep doing the things that you're doing at a level that you want to be doing it. So acknowledge that you're hurt and then think about what it was that you did to get hurt so that you can then identify, okay, is it really in my calf or is it a hip because I've been sitting all day? Is the low back pain caused from sitting or caused from doing something stupid like lifting a really heavy box? And then talking to somebody about it, right? Like, if you need to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. If you need to get a massage, get a massage. If you need to stretch, stretch. But I promise you that when you start incorporating some of the human touch element from a soft tissue standpoint, you're going to feel a hell of a lot better. So that's one of the things that I've noticed over the last bajillion years. It feels like when I say 20 years, it feels like very strange. But when I look at how that has played out over the years, is most people who started coming as massage clients, which I still do, are stretch clients now because they feel better in their body and it's stuff that they can do on their own. So you're injured, you've done something stupid, tweaked your back, thrown it out, pinched nerve in the neck, whatever it is, think about what can I do to stretch it? What can I do to lengthen that tissue so that I alleviate the pull?
Now, from a prevention is the best medicine kind of standpoint, because that's how we always look at it, right? You can win all the fights you're never at. You know, you can prevent, you can handle all the injuries you never get, right? that's kind of how we teach our thing. But we know it's going to happen potentially. So what is the best, like, and I know it's hard to say for everybody, but top three things that you think you recommend to the majority of people, right? Because you see mostly, like you said, most of your clients are guys 35 to 65. All right. What are the top three things that you're continually telling people, do this and you will prevent your injuries more? Because treating injuries is like, okay, well, now you're already injured, right? That's like, for our perspective, it's like trying to, okay, shit, I'm in a fight. What do I do? You know what I mean? Oh, God, yeah. Someone's bleeding real bad. What am I supposed to do now? Like, let's figure it out now. Like, no, it's too late. It's already here.
You normally would know what to do in that scenario, yeah. Right? Like, oh, if somebody's bleeding,
we should already do this.
Bandage them up.
Because if we don't, then obviously that thing's just going to get worse. And so that's kind of how we look at injuries, right? It's like we wait until the injury has happened and then we're like, okay, now how do we handle this? It's like, it's too late, man. The injury's already happened. Now you've got this long recovery time. So what are your top three things that you think you just tell people this all the time?
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, is just commit to stretching. Commit to it now because it is what prevents it from happening. And we won't go into all the physiology of it because that's not super fun topic for today. We could talk about that another day. But when I'm working with people, especially in the department of trying to prevent injury and trying to stay physically active, doing the things that we want to do, generally the areas of the body that become the most restricted most frequently are the hip flexors on the front side of the body, which can be from sitting too much. It can be from doing too heavy of a squat at the gym. You know, anything that shortens the front side of the body and is pulling lengthwise on the back side of the body. So I can't tell you, like, people come in and are like, oh, it's my hamstrings. It's not your hamstrings, people. It's not your hamstrings. Rarely is it the hamstrings. It's the hip flexors on the front. So if you lengthen the hip flexors on the front side of the body, it can help balance out the pull that you're feeling on the back side of the body.
And there are good stretches that you can do for that.
For sure.
Yeah. Those are the ones I do all the time.
Yeah. Like, if you did nothing else in this life than a hip flexor stretch, you're going to alleviate so many challenges in your body. And by nature, like, we were born, like, we were in the womb in a flexed position. Like, our bodies were in this tucked position. So it's what we always go back to, but it's also what creates a significant amount of pull in our bodies. Yeah. So between the hip flexors and then I say the piriformis, which is a muscle deep in your butt that gets really innervated with your sciatic nerve. And so that can create a lot of discomfort not only in the low back, but in the hips and down the leg. So I see a lot of people with some imbalances there. So the piriformis stretch, which again, deep underneath your glute muscles, it allows for hip mobility to happen. So that's when that doesn't work properly, we're talking, you know, maybe not tomorrow, but hip replacement, right? Like, if you want movement to happen in your hips, the hip flexors and the piriformis, which helps with that too. And then Drew's favorite, the calf stretch.
Love that.
Because the calves, the pull on the calves correlate both above and below. So it can, tight calves create foot problems.
Oh my gosh.
It creates hip problems. It creates low back problems and even up into the shoulders and head. So that kind of chain of command between the calves, piriformis, hip flexors, it's a two for the back side of the body, one for the front side of the body. And if you sit at a computer all day, we're going to throw in stretching out your pecs on the front of the chest. Those are my four superstar stretches.
Yeah, I do three of those every single time. I try to do them before I run and then after. Well, I do them before I even go to the gym and work out. And I do them after I work out and run.
Yeah, and if you're dealing with a specific current injury, stretching before and after is critical. If you are just from a preventative standpoint incorporating stretching, it's most important to do it afterwards.
Yeah.
So that means, Drew, I know you well enough to know, like, if you have an hour to go for a run, you really can only go for a run for 50 minutes because guess what? You need that 10 minutes to stretch afterwards.
Yeah.
Because that's where the body repairs itself.
Yeah.
Like, the stretching helps repair any kind of tissue damage that's happened during your activity.
Well, that's what saved my IT band. Z.
Z, z, z.
Yes.
Yeah. Remember that old debacle?
It's doing it afterwards,
yeah.
Right? And so that's where we maximize the effectiveness of stretching is to do it after your activity. So
yeah.
It's, like I said, it's almost always an afterthought for most people. And it can't be that afterthought. It's like, okay, I have an hour to work out, or I have an hour to do whatever it is that you're doing.
It's 50
I'm
minutes.
Do it for 50 minutes and then make stretch. Sure that I have a few extra minutes at the end to stretch.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there other things outside of stretching, which is obviously a huge focus, but are there other things too that you recommend? Like we always talk about physical fitness from a functional fitness standpoint. Like, yeah, you might need to be able to pick something up really, really heavy and set it back down. I guess that could be a real thing in your life, but there's also other stuff that's going to be more critical to you. Like, I know guys who can do all kinds of great weightlifting, but they couldn't run a mile to save their lives, right? Or they're dehydrated constantly, right? Or their fuel that they're putting into them is non-sustainable. Like at some point in time, they're going to have to get off these supplements. At some point in time, they're going to have to stop taking this thing that they take. And then that's going to completely affect how well they can actually perform. So from a total perspective, what else do you recommend to people? Especially as we're all getting older here.
We're all getting older.
How are we preventing injuries? Stretching is great.
Stretching is
great.
What
else do you recommend?
Yeah, it's everything, right? It's everything that is hard. It's your diet and it's your nutrition. Like, what are you putting into your body to fuel it? What does the body need? I think a big piece of it is, you know, it's a style of wine. Yes. Yes, please. And a lot of it recently, right? When I am most engaged with stretching, it's the physical sensation of what you're feeling is important, but what you're getting from that is also a balance in the mind and being more mindful. And that's a kind of a bit of a buzzword, is being mindfulness and doing meditation and all of these things. But you can look at stretching as that sort of mindfulness in your own body of like, what's really happening in my body? Because we are really, really expert level humans at burying what's actually happening in our bodies. Or we have cancer because we just looked at weather.
Right?
Like, oh, I stubbed my toe and now I have cancer. So bless you if you do actually have cancer, but it's usually not the case. But when we start looking at, okay, I want to be healthy when I'm 90 years old, what does healthy mean to you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's that combination. And I can tell you from the clients that I have worked with over the years is when they incorporate the stretching and the massage and just that downtime as part of the whole, they can do the things that they want to do in a healthier way. So we all define health differently. For me, it's going for a run in the morning or going for a bike ride, spending time stretching. It's also taking 10 minutes in the morning to meditate. So looking at the whole, still struggle with the sugar thing. We'll eventually get there. But like, just look at your body as a means to get you to where you want to go. And if you're not treating your body well, you're not going to get where you want to go.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of tools available to us, right? Like you can go to any gym and you can get a workout, or you can go get a massage. You can even go to these little rinky-dink stretch lab. You know, that's like not the enemy. Just there's a lot of options out there, but not options like that actually know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So be mindful even of that. Is like, okay, talk to somebody that goes and gets a massage regularly. Talk to somebody that goes to stretch. Find a place that has some value to it. So don't waste your time and your resources on things that don't matter from the standpoint of taking care of your body. But do spend time taking care of your body, right? It's a daily effort for all of us. And it's hard. It's hard work. But the payoff is that then we can be 83 and out there golfing without.
Or running even.
Or running.
Yeah. I will do a shameful plug for Judy, because she is absolutely amazing for both massage and stretch. She saved both my IT bands from exploding and my calves. So if you are in our area in Arizona, go see her if you have any type of injury, or even want to just go and learn how to stretch better. Go see Judy. She'll help you. She's awesome.
Or go to her.
Claire.
The Zoom stuff. Well, yeah, Claire, your other gal in the office.
Yeah. Which I've not met her. I guess it's been a while since I've been there.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I did. When
you hurt your shoulder. Yeah.
But yeah, and then you've got the online stuff that you do. And I think a lot of this really is about wasting or not wasting resources, because like I've been to plenty of tourist massages, right? I've been to the massage envy strip mall places. I've been to the place where you're at the nice resort and it's like, oh, you add a massage to your package for $80 to wear. And you're like, yeah, fucking, I'm here, you know, let's do it.
Right.
And then you go there and you're like,
why did I just spend
I think
the money
I just got
that?
Molested, but it was like to really nice music. So yeah. I'm not sure I'm really offended, but I'm not sure
like,
what just
that
happened.
Actually feel good?
Yeah. And then you get up and you're like, well, I'm super greasy. I guess that was good. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, yeah, I've had all kinds of massages. For the same amount of money, you can go to someone who actually knows what they're doing. And you just have to do a little bit of research. And I think people, I think I can say this without jumping the gun too much, but I think if people contacted you, they could probably get a referral if you knew somebody in their area.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I've helped a lot of people find other people throughout the country just saying like, hey, I'm in Chicago. Who do you got?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know people. I got people. So, yeah, if you're not in this area, certainly reach out and we can direct you if there's somebody that we know.
Yeah. Yeah. Judy's awesome. I totally recommend
it. Well, thanks.
It.
You guys are awesome, too.
Well, thank you for coming in and talking
yes.
to us.
My pleasure.
And again, it's Apex Body Works with an X at the end. And that's going to be online, apexbodyworks.com, where people can get information about contacting you, doing your online Zoom stuff, your online stretch lessons, I guess is really what they are, kind of educational stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously just coming to see you if they're local or going to be local.
And you do the – your massage isn't just a regular massage. It's like a sports deep tissue massage.
Yeah, we can do anything.
Yeah. So it's not just like one of those vacation massages.
Yeah, it's not a tourist
You're
massage.
Definitely not getting a fluff and buff.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah,
it's like we are doing the hard work and you might cry a little bit.
It's going
to
hurt.
We'll try not to make you cry too much.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Awesome. Well, thanks again, Judy, for coming in.
My pleasure. Talk soon.
All right. Thank you. So there you guys go. A lot of people requested the opportunity to learn more about how to prevent or handle injuries as we get older. And I think, you know, when Drew and I were talking about, okay, who are we going to have in the studio to talk about that? Judy was our very, both of us were like, Judy's going to. She can help us out with that because she's the number one person I've gone to. I go to doctors to try to fix injuries. They're like, here's your $25,000 treatment plan. I'm going to see you once every 2 weeks for the next forever. You know, here's the medication I want to put you on. Or, oh, here's the surgery you're going to need. Judy doesn't look at any of that to start with. And it's all like, okay, here's how we can prevent this. Here's how we can treat this injury now and then do this and you can prevent this injury in the future
yeah.
or injuries like it. Prevention truly is the best medicine. So make sure you guys check Judy out at Apex Body Works with an X at the end of works, apexbodyworks.com. And obviously that'll be linked on our social media stuff as well. But she's on Instagram and Facebook as Apex Stretch. And YouTube as well. So, yeah, all kinds of great resources. She's big into education. And, in fact, mm-hmm. Just how big she is into education, we met her through my oldest sister who used to teach with her.
No, they went to school together.
Yes, and then they taught together
yeah.
at the Arizona School of Massage Therapy when they were both very, very young in their careers.
Yeah.
They both came already from that educational mentality, and that's still what they do, right? My oldest sister is still involved in education on the body and wellness and things like that, and Judy's still involved in that. So these are people who are interested. That's why, my sister who doesn't live anywhere near us was like, we're like, man, I need somebody, but I don't just want to go blindly start going because yeah. I don't want to get molested for $80. You know what I mean? Like, and she's like, no, go see Judy and she will fix. And originally it was for your IT band issue.
Yeah. And man, oh man, I mean, I couldn't even run a mile at like a 14-minute pace without it flaming up on me. And it took a lot of work and a lot of time on both my end, mainly my end, but Judy too. I mean, she would follow up with me. She's great. She would text me. I would tell her when I would have a race and then we'd get me race ready. And she is an amazing person.
So, on to the beginning of our show, since we had to skip that a little bit to get Judy in on time because she had a stretch client that she had to get to on time. Thank you, patrons, for the support of the show. We're going to be doing the extra show for you this week, so make sure if you're a $10 above patron, you look for the extra show, your extra monthly show. And our videos will be coming back. We're just testing our gear right now. Now that we're shifting gears from live to pre-records, incorporating video back again, going to be doing more video snippets from the shows that we're doing. We'll be doing more of that for all of our social media people. So you'll see more of that on Instagram and YouTube and all that. Or I'm sorry, Facebook and all that kind of stuff. News, I mean, who knows? This show today is really far in the future.
Yeah.
Because we have guests for the next 3 weeks and we needed to be able to fit Judy in based on her schedule.
Yeah.
And also our show schedule. So this show we're doing right now in April is still May. No, I'm saying right now
yeah,
it's April.
It's April.
And it'll actually be on May 3rd, so yeah. Which of course it is if you're listening to the show
today.
It's at least today, if not further in the future. But so, yeah, what's going on in the world? Yeah, still people, stupid bullshit.
People still suck.
I saw a video on the Instagram the other day that was perfect. I think I sent it to you about the sheep who stuck in that crevice. Did I send you that?
Mm-mm.
There's a sheep stuck in this crevice, and this guy's trying to get the sheep out of the crevice. And they have to like hook a strap to it and they pull this sheep out of this little crevice that it's stuck in and it runs and it jumps back into the crevice like about 50 yards up the way. And the thing was like, you know, the majority of Americans, when you try to tell them what the truth is, you know what I mean? It's like they come out and they're like, oh my God, it's so scary and terrifying. I'm jumping right back in, hiding my, you know, sticking my head in the ground. I'm hiding from it. That's probably still happening.
Yeah, probably.
I had a discussion the other day with a client of ours. Who's really a peer, definitely, also teaches, also shoots competitively and does all that kind of stuff. And we were chatting back and forth on social media, you know, messaging about the problems that some of the problems that we're seeing in society. And man, the time for good men to do things is upon us. So if you consider yourself a good person, good man, good woman, good member of society, it's now. And I'm not talking about grabbing your guns and throwing tea in the harbor and shooting people at Lexington. What I'm talking about is it's time to really stand up for what you believe in. It's time to stop being scared. You can't always fear the consequences of standing up for what you believe in. Whatever it is you do or don't want to do because you do or don't believe it is in your best interest – in the best interest of our country, you need to start doing that. I saw a video where Jim Cavazel was quoting Ronald Reagan in this church congregation talk that he was kind of doing. Jim Cavazel, an actor, nothing more, right? Regular person. But the way he quoted it was very powerful. And quoting Reagan specifically, he was an imperfect person like all of us, but believe in a lot of things, not all the things, all right, but a lot of the things that he was pushing. And one of the things that he taught or that he said in this quote was, it's time for Americans to stop thinking about what the rights basically allow us to do and start thinking about what we ought to do with the rights that we have. You know, start thinking about what you ought to be doing. What should you be doing now with these rights and these freedoms and these liberties? What should you be standing up for? It's time. It's past time. It's way past time. We've let it go too far. Look around. Look at who's in our administration. Look at the policies that they're pushing.
Well, speaking of that, Ducey just dropped a executive order as of today, April 19th.
Yeah.
He is banning vaccine cards, COVID-19 cards. He's made an executive order where, according to the state agency – oh, wait, hold on. Where is it? Governor Doug Ducey issued an executive order on Monday banning vaccine passports and preventing local governments from requiring residents to provide their COVID-19 vaccine status in order to receive service or enter a specific area.
Beautiful.
So what Doug Ducey said is the residents of our state should not be required by the government to share their private medical information. Ducey said in a statement on April 19th, we will strongly recommend all Arizonans get the COVID COVID-19 vaccine. It is not, however, mandated in our state, and it never will be. Vaccines should be up to the individual and not the government.
That's so, good news.
At least, you know, he was kind of...
He was in my gray area there for a little while.
Yeah, in the very beginning.
In but the beginning, now, he was awesome.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry.
In the beginning of his term of being a governor, he was awesome.
Yeah, I'm talking about the COVID-19.
He really slipped into my gray area. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? I mean, I think a lot of it was because of federal pressure.
Right, but now he's basically saying fuck the government. So, which is nice.
He's saying fuck the federal government.
Yeah.
Remember, he's still part of the government.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. A big part of it. That's what I mean is the federal government. So he's not, you know, they're really pushing for the, at least what it seems like. Again, this is just surface area, but it's, he's more and more pushing for the people. But his term is also up at the end of this next year.
Yeah.
So who knows what shitbag will come in and try and take over and recorrect all his stuff that he's signed.
Yeah. I mean, let's keep it here for now anyway.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. Find out. All right. Red Wire gear moment. Let's get into that. You know, John at Red Wire Gear has made a lot of gear over the years that was always designed to fill a need and never to just build something. In fact, there's been frustrating times that I've been like, you need to build this. He's like, yeah, but someone else already makes that. It already fills the need. I'm like, yeah, but you could do it. And it could fill the need better from your product line. And he was like, yeah, but I want to do that. So he's got his set of standards he wants and his values he wants to maintain. One of the things he built, and he originally built it for us, for Drew and I, was this dog leash. We wanted a quick adjustable dog leash that enabled us to be able to very easily let the dog out or very easily bring him back in, and not that retractable piece of shit that leads to so many accidents and fights and problems with dogs and dogs getting hurt and dogs getting hit by cars, and those mechanisms break constantly. They really are trashy leashes. We wanted something that we could really more physically control, but that was strong, right? And so I'm like, well, I already trust your leash or your sling, John. Why don't you just turn that into a leash for me? And so he did. What does your, you know, dog leash enable you to do?
Yeah.
Is it just a rope? Or is it something more than that? Can you really – does it really help you control and train your dog? Let me ask yourself that. It's not just a shameless plug for Red Wire Gear's dog leash. As dog owners, we have a couple of leashes that are really just ropes.
Yeah.
So what do you? What is your piece of equipment really enable you to do when you're trying to control your dog or not? You know, we were at the Alika Canine Trials this last – well, I guess it wasn't really this last weekend. Several weekends ago. Physically now this last weekend, but on May 3rd, which it is supposed to be when the show gets released, it was several weeks ago. But when we were at the Alika Canine Trials, watching the different canine officers utilize different leashes, they're not using just a rope. Some of them were using just a rope. Many of them are not. These are task-driven control and training devices.
Yeah.
And that's really the way I look at a dog leash. I don't just want to rope myself to my dog. I want something that's going to help me train and control my pet, you know, my dog. So what does your dog leash allow you to do? If you haven't seen them, check out the Red Wire Gear dog leashes. You can find those at redwiregear.com. All righty. Already did the topic, so we just get to jump right to the end, which is confusing.
Yes.
let me get back to my paper here. All right, cool. So we're going to jump right then into our independence training moment since we're jumping the topic because we already had Judy on. Independence training moment is the necessity of mid-retention shooting. It's something we've been doing a lot of forever, ever since I started training. I've really pushed people on the necessity of mid-retention shooting. You know, the ability to shoot effectively and quickly, accurately from somewhere between, you know, the top of the elevator, which is the top of the draw or presentation, and full extension, which is arms out front, you know, sights in front of eyes. Somewhere in that midpoint where we can effectively retain and control the gun, but also get effective and accurate hits. Really, really important because that's where the majority of fights take place. Most people, when you ask them, hey, where's the average armed citizen contact, or we're saying law enforcement, okay, where's your average law enforcement contact? You know, most people are going to say, hey, it's going to be, you know, within a couple arms length. And most cops are going to say, you know, it's going to be, you know, inside of, you know, 7 yards and more likely inside of 5. Okay. So cops are a little bit farther out because they usually have a little bit more of a standoff than armed citizens do. They're more proactive than reactive as we are. So theirs is going to be a little bit further away. But in both of those cases, the mid-retention concept will do a couple of things for you. One, it gets you on target faster. It gets your sights aligned with target faster. And it enables you to shoot from the top of the presentation all the way out to full extension. And I don't know about you, but if I'm fighting someone where life is the prize, I would like to have 3, 4, 5 rounds effectively and accurately on target before I get to full extension, then waiting till I get to full extension. Even if you're a sub-second draw, kapow, you can get one shot on target by the time you hit full extension, and you can accurately and effectively do that. That's still only one. What if in 1.2, 1.3 seconds, you could put 3 or 4 rounds on target? I would much rather have done that. Whoever scores the most points the fastest wins, to quote our friend Frank Proctor from The Way of the Gun. So consider the necessity of mid-retention shooting. As I said, everybody admits that it's going to be close, and then they only practice out to full extension, which would not be beneficial for a close-range engagement. You can check out the various programs we have or others have. Just always make sure, of course, you always vet the concepts. And then the concepts are always pressure tested and not just masturbatorily trained on the freaking range. Make sure they're really pressure tested under force of opposition. So there you go. Independence training moment. Check out trainingaz.com for all of our great courses. All right. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. We're being hosted in several different states throughout the rest of the year. Easy to come to your place. Make sure that you hit us up and ask us what the details are, because it's not very hard to do. info@trainingaz.com is a really easy way to get information about hosting us in your area. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as Independence Training, The Arms Room Show, Red Wire Gear, MRC Phoenix, Drew's Running Club, and of course, Apex Bodyworks, or in this case, Apex Stretch, which is Judy's organization, our guest today. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. So be sure that you check out the other shows on the network and the other services the Heroes Media Group provides, which are vast. If you need media taken care of, they are probably capable of doing it. They have a lot of cool stuff that they can do. Next week, we're going to be talking about an interesting show. I almost made this an extra show for $10 and above only patrons, but it actually got requested so many times that I decided I just want to do this in public because I believe it has to do very much with a preparedness lifestyle. And you'll learn more about why that is when we do the show. How to manage and control your anger.
Oh boy.
And we'll be talking about that next week.
Oh boy.
Until then, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.